Hey, sweet lips, Dylan from BODS here. On the next episode, the boys discuss the juicy details on what actually happened to them after crashing that ever so much fun wedding. Also got a couple segments for you. First being Carlos Rant, and we'll cap it off with Zach Attacks. You don't want to miss this one. BODS coming right back. BODS back here. Cracking beers, having a good time. I love you guys. It's been a week since I've seen you, but it's always good to have you. To my right, I have...
Carlo.
And to... Wow. And to my left, I have...
Zach.
All right. Well, as you know, the last episode, we actually crashed a wedding.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love how everything we talk about as far as crashing weddings goes, you get actually into the situation and none of these things actually happen.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, okay. Well, let's just...
tell me what happened that we talked about.
Okay, so we showed up, and it was me and Zach came first, and then Dylan followed up a little bit later.
On my chariot horse.
He had actually a chariot horse, which was weird.
It was bizarre. No, it was cool. I loved that.
Well, see, he works in the prop department for Warner Brothers, so that was actually from Ben-Hur. He actually had the chariot from the chariot race.
Can I say, yeah, it's a great
which
movie.
Was weird. I thought it was a little ostentatious, but, you know, to each his own.
A little brash.
I actually tried to stab him, and the armor, it still works.
The armor on the... He wasn't wearing armor.
I thought you said Ben-Hur. Riffing, sorry.
Yeah. Chariots of Fire.
Have you seen Ben-Hur?
Yes.
What's it about?
It's about a guy that rides a chariot, and... And Charlton Heston,
right,
and Heston. He saves the Jews from a fascist regime. I'm pretty sure.
Which regime was it?
What was it? It was Cobra, right?
Cobra Commander.
Cobra Commander, yeah,
was in that movie.
And
let my people go.
At the end of it, I'm pretty sure there was a leper, some dude wrapped in linen cloth, and then didn't he something about no there was. Then, at the end of it, the monkey spoke to him, and it was cool, and then they went up and climbed a tree.
It's a hell of a synopsis.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is the Hawaiian public school system at its best.
Yeah. You guys should all go see Ben-Hur. There's, like, lasers, and I'm pretty sure George was made by George Lucas, right?
I'm sure there was a guy named George and a guy named Lucas on the production in some capacity.
I rest my case.
All right. So we showed up, and it was at this sportsman's lodge in L.A., which was kind of weird. It kind of felt like we were in the...
Threw me off.
Kind of felt like you were in the Catskills,
yeah,
didn't it? Like, you were in upstate New York, and, like the Catskills, like, in Dirty Dancing, where Baby went. And, like, they were telling, like, those old vaudevillian jokes on stage. It kind of felt like that, except in L.A., which was kind of weird.
Kind of out of the blue. It was weird.
And unbeknownst to us, it was a punk rock wedding.
Oh, yeah.
So that was weird, because we all dressed kind of... We suited up.
We did. Up.
Oh, my God. We looked good. We were actually told we were the best-looking
three
men. Most
dapper.
Which is not... And the groomsmen all had red vests on, so they looked like valets.
I actually handed one of them my keys, and he looked at me like...
And he's like, I'm not going to drive this piece of shit.
That's true.
So we showed up, and everybody... It was a punk rock wedding, so there was a lot of, like, striped fucking stockings and a lot of scene hair. Whole bunch of tattoos, and you know our feelings on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not a single chess piece. You girls must be
listening. You missed the chess piece?
There was one chess piece.
Huge chess piece.
Wait a minute. Was that from Striped Sock Chick?
Yes.
Oh, then I did see that.
Her chest looked like an Avenged Sevenfold album cover.
She was for great tits, though.
I do recall that. She is obviously not a listener.
Yeah, she was not... Well, yeah, I don't think she read... Actually, she showed up. Anyways, we walk up, and we knew one person that was going to be there. So I'm calling constantly, like standing, like kind of right outside, because there was two separate weddings going on. One had like a Mexican oompa band, and the other one was playing like Madness. I don't know if you guys know Madness. That's the One Step Beyond song.
What do you call that kind of style?
That's like ska.
Ska?
No, our house in the middle of the street, that's Madness, right?
No, that's not.
Okay.
No. Madness is One Step Beyond!
Don't know that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I
think that's pretty much what it was.
Then I like that.
Yeah. I'm going
to
go download that.
We're going to listen to the funky, funky new style of Madness!
Is that an actual lyric in one of their songs?
Yeah.
Wow.
But there was an open bar.
Get ready to listen to the beat
What the fuck?
You never fucking heard that song?
I know.
The only reason I know that song...
It sounds like the B-52s or something.
No, if you're ready to listen to the B...
That's what you're making it sound like.
No, it's not Fred Schneider. No, it's fucking Madness. It's a British ska band from like the 80s. The only reason I know that song is because of Beavis and Butthead. Because they played One Step Beyond. One step! And then Beavis went fucking crazy for it.
Or it
might have been Butthead. No, it was Beavis.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, never heard of it. Whatever. One's a Nuke band, one's the fucking Madness. And we knew the one person that was going to be there, but she didn't say what kind of wedding it was going to be. So I was like, I don't know, does she have Mexican friends, or does she have like a whole bunch of punk rocker ska friends?
I had an idea.
Yeah, we had an idea.
I had an idea.
I feel like we could assume, and it was a pretty safe assumption. We showed up dressed as we were going to pretty much any wedding.
Any wedding.
Yeah.
Any wedding.
We could have been at any wedding, and we would have looked just fine.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it was like some kind of redneck wedding where the fucking groom shows up
like,
in a rusted old truck or
something. Some kind of like, you know, black wedding where it was just like, you know, everybody's in their Sunday best and like the bride had like helicopter hair. Like,
and all the men are wearing three button suits
yeah.
with too many stripes.
Oh, yeah, Stacey Adams shoes.
Yeah.
Like a lot of teals and golds
yeah.
and that kind of thing. Oh, and plus the fact that we're not black.
Yeah.
That would probably.
A lot of sweat on the
yeah.
brow.
Like, oh, shit, who didn't pay their car? Fucking payments. The creditors are coming.
Are we being audited?
But we hit the open bar immediately.
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 Immediately hit the open bar.
Which, by the way, did not last long enough. I don't know if the bride or groom is a listener here, but Jesus Christ. The fucking open bar ends at 10 o'clock?
Yeah, that's not conducive to a good time.
I lied to the bartender. And
you
like,
lied
look,
to the bartender?
I lied to the bartender. I was like, listen, I just got off a flight. it was a guy bartender. And then the girls were born there. So I was like, I just got off a flight. I just made it. And I missed the wedding. Just here for the reception. He's like, okay, sure. I'm like, make it a double.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Got a free drink in right after it closed.
Oh, you believe me? Oh, shit. Well, then let me get a...
this guy needs one.
These two over here need one.
Chespies over here needs one.
And then in the punk rock wedding, we stuck out like a... We almost stuck out as much as if we were at a black wedding.
Yeah, I'd say so.
We looked good. We do look good together.
There was a guy wearing shorts.
Yeah.
There was a guy wearing shorts at a fucking wedding.
Yeah.
There was like a whole bunch of people just wearing like, hey, look, I know this is an occasion that's not about me, but I'm going to dress very individually, which is not very individual because every fucking punk rocker dresses like me. It's like that weird like uniform that they have of like, okay, I'm going to wear Chucks and like some black skinny pants, and then I'll put like a tie on that I don't really tie all the way because I'm
right. It's like, you know, I want to look the top button. Yeah, like
no.
I want to look like, you know, suits aren't my thing.
Yeah,
you know, like that's kind of the attitude that I want to give out. And like looking around, I was
they put more effort into
looking like this isn't my thing than it would take to just kind of
put on a fucking nice fucking thing. You can wear a completely black suit with a white shirt and a black tie, look like you're from fucking Reservoir Dogs, and like, cool, you're still hip.
Yeah,
it's
you're
still fine.
Good. You're still good.
Like, you
it's
don't have
weird.
To like you
I,
don't gotta wear creepers and like a fucking ironic bow tie and like just be an asshole.
Right,
like,
but
somebody
I'm
else's
like,
fucking day.
I'm looking around and I'm wondering like, wow, is. Do I know the secret or something?
I'm sorry.
Like, and the secret is merely use a tailor.
No, we're talking about being courteous on somebody's wedding day, and we crashed the wedding. We were more courteous than the actual guests of the
wedding. We should have been originally invited
to
the fucking
thing. We should have been invited.
Yeah, seriously, they probably should have. I'm just saying they should have been a little bit more appreciative of our presence.
Yes. Hey, you know how all your friends are assholes? We weren't even invited.
Yeah.
What did we do immediately? What did we do? We got some cake.
We have photos. We have photos.
We'll put that online when we can get that there, and we're not afraid of you actually seeing what we look like.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's going to take some doing.
That's going to take some time. And then we went up to the bride, and we said what a beautiful wedding was. We took a picture with her.
Indeed, we did.
She didn't know who the hell we were.
It was almost like a scavenger hunt. Like, no, we have to get a picture with the
she
bride.
She knew immediately
we
got to
get
crashed.
A picture eating cake. We got to do
what
all these
say?
Things.
She knew immediately we crashed because she's, you know, a bride. She knows everybody who's invited. She's like,
right.
I did not invite any of you two.
And three well-dressed guys come up, like, with these kind of, like, knowing smiles on their faces.
But!
Like, no, we got to get a picture with the bride. Hey, sorry to bother you. You look beautiful.
By the way, you look great.
You went right for it, too.
I,
and I was like, kudos
to
this man, you know?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. And then Dex said this. He's like, it was a beautiful service.
Did I?
You did.
I didn't even recall saying
away. That. Because she's like, are you guys from the wedding next door? Like, and I was like, because it was an Oompa wedding next door, like a Mexican Oompa wedding. And I was like, Do we look Latino? Come on. We're friends with the group. All right. And
then, yeah, that valet-looking guy.
And we hug. Oh, yeah, cool. And then Zach's like, by the way, it was a beautiful service. And then we looked at each other and it's like, fly away! Fly away! Mix yourself into the crowd. You can't see us anymore.
Run!
Scatter.
But it wasn't the kind of wedding I was hoping for.
What were you hoping for?
I was hoping for a lot more, like, people drinking, having an amazing time.
Carousing. A little bit later of an open bar.
Open bar. But no, but people weren't carousing. People were, like, sitting at tables.
Yeah.
Not really socializing.
It was very sedate.
Yeah, it was just somewhat. It's at the fucking Sportsman's Lodge.
Well, it was nice.
Yeah, it was a nice room. It's a Sportsman's Lodge in fucking Ventura.
So what we decided to do was see what else was going on in the other ballrooms.
Oh my god! And so there's this other Mexican wedding going on, and we're all deciding like, okay, cool. So we got a picture with the cake. We got a picture with the bride. I don't know. Like, I feel we felt unfulfilled in our crashing status.
Crashing. Those fucking horrible people did not give us the crashing experience.
No, certainly not. Like, I didn't even get to tell a girl that I was a knight.
I blamed them.
I didn't get to tell somebody I was a fucking dinosaur in disguise. How horrible is that?
Yeah, and I'm sorry. There was actually...
And I was a cowboy from the past, and that just didn't work at all for me.
Well, we'll get into this later, but the women there were... they were a little on the heavy side. And they seemed to love us. Boy, did they! So anyway, we tell ourselves, you know, we got to get more out of this. So we see that there's another wedding going on, just pretty much across the hall in this event place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing with these two guys, Carlo and Dylan. I'm like, okay, cool. So we're gonna do it. Yeah, let's go. Okay, so I start like marching over. I'm dressed. I got my strut. I'm like walking into a place like I own the place, because otherwise people are gonna look at you like, wow, what is he doing here? He's just staring at people. So you got to walk in with confidence. So I start walking in with confidence. And I kind of look at the dance floor like, all right, everyone looks to be 17. Is this even a wedding? And then the worst part, I turn around, and these two fucks aren't even with me. They're back in the fucking bathroom or something. I'm like, I just walked into this alone, you dicks?
Well, see, I took the physical cue of the very scary Armenian guys that were standing by the door of the place.
You could have clued
me in. Looking at us. And they see your fucking flamingo ass walk in like, eh, da, 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 da. I like fucking own this place. Look at my lease. I got this fucking shit on lock.
I'm swinging a cane. I got a monocle.
And I looked down like, oh, let's hang back.
Yeah, we hung back.
Let's see what happens with this.
The funniest thing is when we finished with the crazy Avenged Sevenfold girl, we flicked our cigarettes. It was like, let's hit the open bar. This is the first time I got there. We walk to the double doors. We hear the music inside. We open it up. It goes, and like the doors in there, we're standing. Everybody just turns their heads and looks at us. And kind of the music like softens just a little. And we're just like, all right, let's take a bar. You know, it was like from an 80s, it was like from She's like, All yeah, That or something.
You know that scene in the movie
It was an 80s movie, I swear to God. It was the funniest thing. We
it's like a
right.
close-up on a double door, and then your heroes walk in. Yeah. Like,
it was so
like
funny.
One on each side, they both open the double door at the same time, and they walk in, everyone just turns to look at them.
Yeah.
So, well, to give you a visual cue of what everybody looked like in this, you know, 17-year-olds, I don't think Armenians have a quinceañera. But something like
it
that.
It must have been.
Everybody looked like they had, and their last name, the last four letters were K-I-A-N. That's what it looked like. It looked like half the population of Glendale, California was in there.
And it smelled like it, too.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh,
pretty sure the last name was Ngedian.
I actually think I met a Mr. Shwarmakinian. Pretty sure. He had a Mercedes-Benz. He had a drag cleaning place. It was pretty cool.
And they always have great cars, but they're also in debt.
Just fill in the blankie, and that's what they were.
And so that led us out of there, and then we're just kind of standing around like, oh, crap, what are we going to do? And then this vision, this 16th century vision of beauty,
oh my God,
comes walking up. Wide as the world. And she had a chip on her shoulder that was probably the size of the Costco bag of chips that she ate before she got to the wedding. And
she was wearing this lime green wedding dress, and it's like, basically, if that was Violet, you would be telling her, you're turning Violet.
I want it now!
Yeah.
Wait, no, is that Violet? Yeah, it is! Yeah, that was Violet.
No, that was the gum-chewing girl. Anyway.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
I screwed that analogy.
No, you're...
Anyway, she comes up, and what is it about, like, mean, really mean big girls that just have a sense of entitlement, like, we were being nice. Like, I was being very cordial.
You're missing her opening line to us.
What was her opening line?
Her opening line was, Well, you guys are the three best looking guys here. Which one of you guys is taking me home?
Yeah.
She well, said first that. Of all, you didn't say that we were the three drunkest guys here, yeah. So none of us. Yeah.
I can't carry you up the stairs, so that's just...
I know, she... Oh, yeah, she said the statement that she had a hotel room there.
Yeah, there. And also that she was... she's amazing at blowjobs. That is... That was her...
Well, in fact, those have to be.
Yeah, you
kind of
have to.
Kind of have to be.
Like,
what else
have
can
have to be?
Well, I mean, yeah, we were all kind of looking at each other like, well, obviously...
Like, what fat girl out there, what big BBW girl is out there that doesn't do... Like, does that even exist? Like a big girl that doesn't give blowjobs? Like, I can't believe that would even exist.
They have
to be able to cook. They have to be able to give blowjobs.
They have to be able to have hold
conversations
on whatever it is that comes out of my mouth.
Oh, completely. Oh, they gotta
or
be funny.
Or
well, the reason why they're funny.
No, not hers.
Or into.
Like, because hot girls can get away with not cooking, not giving blowjobs. Not for long.
Not being
not
able to
blowjobs.
Hold a conversation.
Not holding a conversation.
For...
Not being funny.
Yeah.
And not having a sense of humor. But this bitch didn't even have a sense of humor.
No.
Well, we found that out not too long after she opened up the conversation. And she just led in with, who's going to take me home? I'm great at blowjobs. What next? And we're all just kind of staring at each other like, actually, I don't remember what happened next. Do you guys? Like, what was
called you Lurch.
No, she did not.
She did.
She called you Lurch. And that's
how would she lead in? And this, well,
that was right after she let in. I mean, give her props for coming over to three of the best dressed gentlemen at the fucking place.
And then starts insulting.
And then starts, but like playfully. And then
playfully insulting?
That was playfully, and then, you know, that was nice. But, you know, you give her one. You give her a mulligan.
I guess
you
give her a mulligan. Yeah, I kind of like, okay.
You brush that.
Sure,
that was
yeah,
a minor thing.
I think life's given her a mulligan.
Yeah. And then
she insulted
you... About your height.
She did.
And you were very good about not retaliating.
First of all, I'm sorry, if somebody's walking in with a hair lip, you don't make some fun of somebody's hair. Like, I'm sorry, you got something wrong with you, alright?
What the fuck is up with your eye?
You have a fucking membership at every drive-thru, like, in the tri-state area.
Yes.
And you're gonna tell me, I'm 5'9". That's an average height for a man in the United States.
Which
you
did not say to the girl, which would have made it, oh my god, so much more funny. If I would have seen Carlo get all defensive about these short comments she was making, I would have just been like,
well, no, I was taken aback.
Christmas.
I was taken aback. It was like...
It was just uncalled for.
It was like if a...
That wasn't even the realm of the conversation.
Like, it would be like if a homeless guy, like, was making fun of my car. It's like... Fuck you! Like, how can you
Where
even
does this
talk
even come from?
About this? Like, she was just so angry.
I called her rude, and I called her disappointing.
Yeah, no, Dylan
well,
was
I think
actually...
she's been called disappointing.
No, and let me tell you...
And I called, sorry, I don't like that.
Dylan took
that
up the
friends.
Dad role, and he actually told this girl to go kick rocks in not so
sorry.
Many words. Like, he was not very nice to her after
I was
that.
Not. I was just like, listen, you gotta come up and talk to guys like us, not that we're, like, the highest-minded people, but, and you're not the most attractive girl, you better be fucking cool.
All
you
right,
better
and,
be cool.
But see,
and that's not us saying like, "Oh my God, we're
no,
some kind of prize."
Be
to
a cool person.
To. That's not what we're saying. We're just regular dudes that can totally be nice and hold a
that
conversation.
That look
with
amazing.
Apparently, look amazing to a fat chick in a green dress. But you know, she comes up, starts.
She
talking.
Looked at us like we were a number two special.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Wrapped in bacon,
curlies,
and what was funny is that she seemed so surprised by Dylan actually being like, "Whoa, no, you need to learn some manners. You don't fucking talk to people like that." Like, you need to get the fuck out of here. She was kind of like, whoa.
There was no joking with her delivery.
What conversation did I just walk
yeah,
into?
You missed that. You missed, like, an exchange between them two, and they literally just... There
yeah,
was
I
like
that.
It wasn't playful. Like, it wasn't
oh,
playful.
No,
it
no.
wasn't playful, and even he admits that. Because
I can bullshit.
He can bullshit and take, he can take anything.
I can take anything. But she just came out of, like, left field. Like, I was being nice. Like, I was like, oh, like, yo, that's pretty dressed.
No, it was weird. Like, I walked back into the conversation, and I'm looking like, Carlo's being quiet.
Well, no,
what's wrong?
I mean, I was being completely nice. I was like, that is a beautiful dress. I have the same thing covering my car. Because I don't want sap on it. That could have been the thing that set that off. But she was just... where does that come from? Where does that sense of entitlement of...
She had an agenda in the beginning.
She
just to come over and, like, insult people that are most likely better than her.
Wow.
Well, physically.
Physically, but like, also would, also hey. Also emotions and
I would,
also
I would
politeness.
Fuck either one of you before I fuck.
Also politeness. I would never go over to Sumi and then like end the conversation like that. You know, that's.
And
just...
did we want to talk to her?
No.
No.
I
could be nice. We
well,
being nice.
I don't know. I feel like we're spending too much time on the fat chick in the green dress.
Well, I think it was...
Fine, let's spend the time on the other fat chick that you were talking to.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
That's probably why she came over in the first place.
Could have been.
That oh girl pulled me aside. The other girl goes like, your friend Zach, he's such a fucking dick. She was... I look back, I see you over there like, me, you know. Like, who, him? Oh, he's just being personable. He's a dick.
I got
like,
myself.
No. Yeah,
I got myself into a bit of hot water with one of the attendants.
Like, filled with mayonnaise.
No,
this is Avenged Sevenfold Tattoo Girl.
No, this is the other girl.
This was another.
The other black dress.
What?
We have pictures with her.
Yeah. Heavy set. Apparently a lawyer girl. She was friends with one of our friends that I think invited us. So we're outside, we're all just kind of bullshitting amongst ourselves, and she comes up, starts talking to us, and just being playful, like, she seemed like she was pretty much of the same mindset, so we can kind of joke with each other, so I felt a little bit candid, and maybe the drinks were getting to me at this point. She had these very large breasts that were just pushed up like they were on display.
Fat girl breasts.
Yeah, she had big old fat girl breasts, and yeah.
Which,
no, she was...
by the way, if you say you got big boobs... and they're fat girl boobs. That's not big girl boobs. That's just you're being fat.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, are we all? Well, I mean, we're all accustomed to the phrase TBD, right? Tits by default.
No.
You guys haven't heard.
I usually go with to be decided, but that's just me.
Yeah, determined.
Yeah,
that's usually why.
Yeah,
tits
by default.
Determined.
Like if you're kind of a big girl, by default you would have large.
He doesn't
breasts.
Work in a professional environment. People.
TBD.
So,
what?
So I start kind of making.
Tits by default.
Tits by default. Yeah, if you're a fat girl, you kind of got tits by default because yeah, you're fat and that's where
but
weight
then
goes.
But then they show them off too, like they wear low cuts up, like yeah, check out these big old.
Yeah.
And it's like, but no, that's not.
I mean, I'm not. I'm
it's
not.
Just
kind of. Not there's anything wrong with it, but I'm. You know, it seems like black guys seem to really like that kind of thing.
And well, it's like a fucking water balloon full of oatmeal. Like when you touch it, it's not firm. It's not supple.
And nipples that point at the ground.
Yeah, and like the veins that go to the nipple that look like my eyes after a bender.
Yeah.
Like that does not.
So
look good.
She was one of them, and I thought like we had this kind of rapport like where we can kind of joke about these things. So I start like saying something about. Big boobs or whatever, and you know, mentioning, oh, well, that's because she literally had them on display. What am I gonna not fucking see? This fact that you've got your tits on display? It's like a guy staring into your eyes, and the whole time you're just shining a flashlight at his chin. Like, what the fuck? Am I not gonna look at this thing? Anyway, so apparently, my comments, my candid, just kind of drunken off the cuff, trying to be funny comments about her breasts, led her to believe that, oh my god, I've got a live one. So
she's checking your vitals. She's like, that's about 2 liters of scotch.
Looks like mama's getting laid.
Looks like mama's getting laid tonight.
Yeah, so she kind of corners me after this. And I see this actual, I don't know. So there was other people to talk to, and I was kind of looking around at these two schmucks like, fucking, this girl is literally cornering me like, so, are you going to take me home? Are you going to do this? And she was pretty fucking drunk on it herself. So she starts asking me if I'm going to take her home, ask her what I'm going to do to her. And I'm just kind of sitting there like, no, nothing, no. Never.
No,
boy, did I... And I kind of asked her at one point, like, did I give you the wrong impression here? He's like, well, I don't know, you're talking about my boobs. Like, I thought you wanted to
fight.
Wait,
you said something about her boobs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you miss this whole
leeway?
I think I did.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she's like, well, you're talking about my boobs. Like, well, I thought you wanted to fuck or something. And I was like, wow, I have... misled this situation then, because that was never my intent. I apologize. And after me telling her, like, look, this isn't going to happen, she continues to corner me, and I'm kind of looking around like, dude, somebody a fucking lifeline or something. Somebody just yell at me. Yell my name, Zach, and I'll be like, oh my god, yes, oh my god, is my phone ringing? Oh, wow, what, I'm sorry, yes, I need to come into work right now. It's 11 o'clock on a Saturday. Okay, I'll come in.
Oh, yeah, we were me and Dylan were watching it like David Attenborough would watch it.
No fucking
solitary killer.
No fucking hell. They're just staring at me like, oh no, you need some help? No.
No sudden movement, Zach!
Yeah. So apparently my dick move was telling her, like, I had to eventually just be so blunt and just be like, look, this is not fucking happening. You kind of need to leave me alone. Like, you're coming on really strong. That's what I said. You're coming on really, really strong, and right. it's making me uncomfortable. And then apparently she goes over to Dylan and says, your friend's a dick.
Your friend's a dick. Well, you probably shouldn't have tried to distract her by throwing a piece of
You could not
cake
stop looking at her
in the hallway.
You could not stop.
Work.
You could not stop.
Hail Mary.
You couldn't stop looking at her tits, though. You just were like, God, I know you're fat, but Jesus, those things are right in my face.
I was making lunch. Come on, dude. Like, any girl that walks around with her cleavage in her chin is obviously... If she doesn't realize that men are going to stare at that, then she's kind of an idiot.
Well, where do we... So we got photos, we made our presents known, we had some cake, you know, we shimmied a little bit on the dance floor.
And then, yeah. and then
where do we end up after?
Well, at a certain point, we just decided that the Schadenfreude was up, and we were just done saying that we knew somebody there.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
all night, we were doing stuff like, oh, how do you know, like... Oh, I'm at the Grill. It was in an alley. We were drinking whiskey. You know.
He was dressed like a valet. He tried to drive my car. I don't know.
You know, hey, you know how... I mean, it's Brian, right? You know Brian.
I totally know Brian.
At a certain point, it was actually after the girl, that the mean fat woman, that we were just like, you know what, fuck it, we crashed this wedding.
Yeah,
we're
pretty much done here.
Yeah, we crashed this wedding, and I don't care who knows it, and we were done. And I wanted to go home. But then these two fucking cavemen decided that they wanted to go to a fucking deep-ass valley strip club.
Star,
for those
star,
of you guys
star,
who
star,
don't
star,
live
star,
gardens, in gardens, Los Angeles, the valley is kind of like...
Wasn't that deep?
It was deep.
No.
That was deep.
It was kind of deep. And don't throw me into the
deep.
Don't throw me into the boat with this guy. It was his idea.
The valley is where dreams go to die.
I got an angel's phone
And this
that
strip
night.
Club was the fucking dream catcher. Because it was fucking... I saw cesarean scars in this strip club. I'm pretty sure that black girl was pregnant.
She was pregnant.
See, this is actually where Carlo and I differ. We walked in, and I thought it's just this like hole in the wall. You expect to walk in and just see literally like what Carlo just explained, cesarean fucking scars and pregnant fat chicks. But it actually wasn't. It wasn't that bad.
A fully nude strip club with fucking alcohol is even allowed in L.A.
True.
So that means this was way deep valley because it wasn't in the fucking jurisdiction of Los
Angeles. Did you have a problem
County.
With full bar? I didn't.
I did. And here's some of
the full bar.
They let us in for free because we were the best dressed fucking people in there because the only other people in there were fucking Latino day laborers and fucking like pimps.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, fucking horrible.
Three well-dressed guys, like younger guys coming into this bar was obviously something that they had never seen before because the attention that we got from some of these women was like... More than I've ever gotten at a strip club.
That guy's got all his teeth!
Yeah.
Like, it was fucking horrible.
I think one girl came up to me and was like, are you lost? And I was like, no, I'm not.
No, but I'd like
I'm right
to
where I want to be, yeah. In your eyes.
Bad. That place was awful.
I'm sorry. I'm not with you.
I've been to strip
it
clubs...
It wasn't that bad.
...in, like, the Deep South, and they were better... Than this fucking place.
All right, what was it called? Star Lounge?
Star Gardens.
Star Gardens.
If any of you guys have ever been there, I guess post your comments, because I didn't mind it.
I'm sorry, what are gardens full of? Fucking horse shit!
Who names a strip club Star Gardens, though? Like, that was kind of...
People in the Deep Valley name their
It sounds
strip
like
club
a Thai restaurant, more so than some place you're going to come into
That
and
sounds like a Thai restaurant to you?
Star Gardens, yeah.
Star Gardens.
Sure.
Why?
Because stars... I don't... It just sounds like a fucking Thai
restaurant. No. Sound it out. Use your words. Why is that like a Thai restaurant? Come on. Give it to me.
Well, let's see how long we can go with this.
Yeah. Star Gardens. Thai restaurant.
Dude. I don't know. Name a fucking... There's Palm. This is... That's like, how is that aptly named for a Thai restaurant?
Because there's palm trees in Thailand.
Okay. There's gardens in Thailand, by that logic. And fuck, dude.
There's stars.
I don't know. To me, I can't quite explain it. Whatever. To me, it could have been a name for anything but a fucking strip club.
I think that's. I mean, that's more a strip club than a Thai restaurant.
I would disagree.
They probably should lose the gardens and add something else.
Yeah. Like.
Yeah, because all that blooms in
Star
there
Lounge
is
sounds sound bad.
Star Lounge sounds better, sounds but mighty. Still, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Star Tits or something.
Star tits.
Star gash.
Yeah. Opening 2014. Star tits. Deep
tits.
Valley.
Hey, come on down to Star Tits. We got tits and stars.
Well, I think you guys get the idea. We're gonna come back. Or do you guys have anything more to add?
Well, there was actually one girl there that I found pretty attractive.
Oh, boy.
And obviously these guys didn't.
Well, for those of you who don't know, we brought Zach to an actual strip club about a couple of years ago.
They do know. We talked about this on one of the second episodes.
Yeah,
they should. They should know.
They should know. But if in case
we
you
have
didn't
to
listen to that one, he turns into, like, the Cro-Magnon that he is... It turns into a Neanderthal.
He's a fucking ATM machine. He just gives money.
He just
I actually
walks
don't.
In. He lives. He like goes limp at the stage. And just goes, "Oh my god!"
Sensory overload. It happens sometimes. I don't know. I get.
Like
I
you
get...
ever seen a dog look at a strip of bacon? Like that's kind of what Zach is at a strip club. Doesn't
pretty
matter
much.
If they're pregnant. Doesn't matter if they've got a hair lip or a cesarean scar or
no. Hold on, Listen,
perfect customer. The
perfect
what they're
customer.
Looking for.
No,
oh
I'm not. I wouldn't go that far. I actually don't really buy lap dances very often. It's very rare when
the East
I buy.
Coast,
lap
they
dances.
Would call you a
you're right.
Boob.
I do.
Anyway, so listeners, I'm sure I'm not alone here. Anybody that first starts going into strip clubs. I mean, can anyone agree with me here that you've gone into a strip club and gotten a little crush, maybe gotten a little bit swept up in the moment of this girl telling you how kind of awesome
of
you
course.
Are, and she's giving you all this attention, and you kind of, you know...
But not a fucking mutant
it.
That you
what
fucking get swept
what did she
up.
Say to you? What did she say to you?
Hi? She said hello.
What does this reject
oh my God.
From The Walking Dead say to you?
Yeah.
Actually, I wouldn't
she
go
said
that
hello.
Far. Her name was Faith. Actually.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And she was a nice girl.
Did you make up a name?
No.
You should have made up a name.
Nah.
Because why are they protecting their names?
Why are they?
Yeah. Like,
trust.
You're the one that actually has to live in society and has, like, a job and, like, people and professional connections, and you give them your name.
That's actually a very good point.
And they give you a fake name.
Yeah, next time I go into a strip club, I'm going to be called Rocket. That's right. I can't actually remember what she had said, but me and her started kind of like, she approached me.
Hey, do you want to give me money?
She
yes.
approached me, we started talking, and I actually, like, she was completely fine with this conversation that we were having, but I kind of cut her off, so like, I mean, because what are they doing if they're talking to you? They're actually just kind of fluffing you up until they can eventually hit you with a punchline of, all right, so you want to buy a dance.
What?
I know.
So what gave you that idea?
I kind of cut her off mid conversation. Be like, all right, so like eventually you're just gonna ask me for a dance, right? So fuck it, let's
yeah,
do a dance.
I need to make a fucking living,
right? And it was not a very good lap dance. It was kind of awkward and
awkward. How?
Like, she was kind of looking into my eyes. I was looking at her eyes, and she was kind of like moving, trying to be sexy. But she like you could. I got this sense of like she was kind of embarrassed for what she was doing. Because a well-dressed guy
because
coming
she's
in...
she's a stripper?
I guess.
No,
I don't know, because
she's a
gonna,
stripper, but at the worst strip club in all
of
Los Angeles County.
Think about it. Like, your main clientele is, like, overweight Mexican guys. It's just a target. This is the demographic of the area. It's there's a lot of Spanish people. So
Spanish, no.
Mexican, sure. Whatever, sorry.
Latin American. Let's keep this PC.
All right, yes.
I don't want to go into fucking blue territory on this podcast.
Wow.
So, if most of your clientele is overweight Latino people,
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, sure. And then you get this well dressed white guy coming in, and he's kind of looking in your eyes like, "Hey, man, I can totally actually kind of get a crush on this
girl.
He
can take me out of this place.
Sure, you know,
he can
like
make my dreams come true."
So it went from being like a casual conversation between two people to now, okay, I actually have to give a lap dance to this guy I just met, and he's like totally just staring at my boobs.
Oh, by the way, Zach has bought everything he's ever seen on an infomercial.
Oh yeah.
Side
what?
Note.
We had to get him a rotary phone just so he couldn't order as much.
How many times have I come home and seen you in my Forever Lazy? I mean, seriously.
Jeggings? I'm in!
Well, shall we take a break, guys?
Anyway, yeah, so that was the night. That was the recap. There it is.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Carlos Rand. If you don't know what that is, fuck you, because you should listen to the last episode, because I explained it last time.
That sounds like a Dylan's rant.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I get a little rant in there, a little pre-rant for you. Coming right back. We're back with Carlos Rant, another segment of it. And, Zach, you got something for Carlo to rant about?
Michael Bay movies.
Oh, my God. Well, especially in this town, a lot of people go off about Michael Bay and how he's a fucking hack. and he has the same fucking shots all the time. He has, like, what, the rising up shot in slow motion with the fucking heroes. You saw that in Bad
Rotating
Boys.
Around,
you
yeah.
saw it in, fuck, shut up, you saw it in Transformers. You saw it in pretty much every fuck. You saw it in fucking, what's that asteroid movie? Fucking
Armageddon,
shut up. And the thing about, like, and then he had that, you know, he always, like, every fucking scene that's not at night is at sunset because it's, like, fucking magic hour and that's fucking beautiful. He's done that in every fucking movie that he's ever made and all that kind of stuff. But the thing is, it's like McDonald's. He's like McDonald's. It's the same recipe, whether you go to fucking Bangladesh or you go to fucking Shanghai, China, or you go to fucking Hong Kong, or you go to fucking New Delhi, India, you can get a fucking hamburger, and it's that burger. You know what that Michael Bay product is gonna be. And all the people that fucking, like, oh god, he does the same thing every time, all these fucking auteur directors. You know what? So does fucking, like, every fucking Wes Anderson movie is pretty much the same fucking thing, right? Yeah. Every Paul Thomas Anderson is, like, quirky fucking shit. At least he fucking commits. A Wes Anderson movie is a fucking quirkity. He doesn't have the fucking balls to say, I'm going to make a comedy. He says, like, hey, we're kind of quirky and it's kind of funny, but it's not really a fucking comedy. He just goes into this whole fucking half-ass shit. Michael fucking Bay goes into every fucking movie saying, I'm going to show tits, I'm going to show fucking explosions, it's going to be sunset, there's going to be fucking slow motion shots, it's going to have an epic fucking soundtrack, and fucking 10,000 things are going to go wrong in the movie. Okay, we're on the fucking asteroid, everything's cool, we're going to put a fucking nuclear bomb in it. Oh crap, the fucking drivetrain out, what are we going to do? We only got 10 minutes left. Oh hey, I'm going to fucking set off an atomic bomb. It's like fucking 10,000 things happen. You know why? Because that's fucking exciting, and that's fucking entertainment. Every fucking asshole, beret-wearing fucking film student fuck that wants to be a director wishes he could suck the dick of the guy that sucked Michael Dick's dick. Like, I mean, like, that's the way it fucking happens. You wish you had enough balls to say, like, hey, I know what fucking people like. People are fucking stupid. That's why a movie like Lost in Translation, it was very critically acclaimed, but it didn't make fucking millions of dollars. Michael Bay movies make millions of dollars. Hey, STK is a really good fucking steakhouse, but not everybody can eat there. Not everybody fucking gets it. Not everybody gets to, like, fucking molecular gastronomy, but you know what everybody fucking gets? McDonald's hamburgers and McDonald's fucking fries.
America.
That's the way it fucking is. He is a genius. He figured out what fucking works. So any fucking art school motherfucker that's out there with this, like, oh, I'm gonna make a fucking 8mm movie, and, like, it's all about this mime who kind of fucking cries one time, he says one word at the end. Oh, brah fucking go, motherfucker. You know who's gonna see this? Nobody. You know who's gonna see a fucking Michael Bay movie? Everybody. And you know why everybody sees it? Because those same beret motherfuckers watch it just so they can fucking hate it. Fuck you. Take some fucking advice from Michael Bay and make a great fucking movie. Thank you.
And that's Carlos Rand, everybody. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Zach Attacks. Coming right back. BODS, we are back. It's time for another segment of Zach Attacks. Zach picks a topic, something that's he doesn't quite understand or he has a bone to pick with.
And we're going to try to make him see the light.
He's going to make him see the light. We're going to give him our 2 cents. And Zach, what exactly are you attacking today?
Well, you guys have definitely got your work cut out for you. Now, something that I don't get more so than I'm attacking is he's an actor from the, I don't know, maybe late 60s, 70s, and 80s. His name is Charles Bronson.
Chuck Bronson.
Okay.
Chuck.
Now,
Chuck. Hey, Zach. What do you got to say about me, punk?
That actually leads directly into my point. Now, some of you younger listeners maybe not know who this guy is. He was in all of the Death Wish movies. I don't know, there's probably like 12 or something, but apparently not enough. I don't know. So, here we have an actor that is not good looking, probably couldn't flirt his way into a fucking date rape. Secondly,
that's a Zachism right there.
That's a Zachism.
Secondly,
that's the best one I think I may have ever heard.
He's not tough or threatening at all. This guy couldn't be threatening to a 9-year-old autistic child. And thirdly, he can't fucking act. Like, how is it that this guy became the face of the action genre for, what, 2 decades or something like that? Other people look at this guy like he's just the toughest dude in the world. Like, there's actually a movie named Bronson about some guy that just idolized Bronson and he became some tough badass.
No, that's not what that movie was about.
Well, it was about a fucking lunatic.
That was about a criminal whose last name was Bronson.
No, his last name wasn't Bronson. He took the name Bronson. No, we're talking about that movie with Tom Brady. No, he took the name Bronson.
No,
have you
seen
it?
Yes, I have seen it.
Okay, we're getting off topic. Anyway.
I'm pretty sure you haven't seen that movie.
Yes, I have. Well, I've seen... Never mind.
I seen a trailer. I was watching...
I saw scenes.
I was watching Boot Troop
on a bootleg copy in Lahaina.
Please, someone explain to me why fucking Charles Bronson was one of probably the highest paid actors for the time that he was famous, and yet this guy looked like the gun he was carrying was heavier than fucking he was. He had the squeakiest voice.
Do you know what he looks
squeakiest
like?
Squeakiest voice?
Yeah. Hey, Charles Bronson.
Wow, that sounds like you.
Actually, that does. Jesus Christ. Wow, so we're turning this... Let's not make this about me. This is about
Charles
Bronson.
No, this is about you, because how can you not get the fact that Charles Bronson is a badass? First of all, mustache.
Pretty much the only badass thing about Charles Bronson is the fact that he could grow a mustache.
He had the Steven Seagal stare before Steven Seagal had the stare.
Yeah, he had a stare.
He was like,
I like how you say Steven Seagal, kind of like Charles Bronson. Steven Seagal.
He had the eyebrows.
Steven Seagal? Steven the fucking Seagal. Judo champion? Like, only fucking white guy to ever teach a grandmaster level in Japan is not a badass?
Stay on Bronson.
Yeah, stay on Bronson.
Okay,
here.
I'm sorry. Well, Charles Bronson, first of all, that guy was not a skinny dude. That guy was built. He was built.
Wow. No.
Do you ever see The Dirty Dozen?
Yeah, have you ever seen... Yeah.
No, I've never seen The Dirty Dozen.
Was he at the OK Corral? Was he in the OK Corral?
He was in Magnificent Seven.
Great Escape, the ensemble cast with Steve McQueen, Charles... As a young guy in the early 60s.
Magnificent Seven, he was in that fucking movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. His acting chops were just to be admired.
No, but we weren't commenting on the fact you don't think he's tough.
I don't think he's tough.
I heard a story that he... There was another actor, I can't remember the English guy's name, who was married to somebody. He shot a movie with him, his wife, and Charles Bronson. And he actually went to the trailer and went to his wife and was like, I'm going to marry you. And he fucking married her.
That's a true fucking story.
Was it the fact that he was Charles fucking Bronson? The star of 9 Death Wish movies?
Like,
maybe that had something to do
with
it.
Hey, bitch. I know you got a husband right now, but I'm Chuck
That's
Bronson.
Literally what he said. That is a fucking true story.
And if you talk about he doesn't look like anything, who the fucking Bruce Willis was on Moonlighting before he was on fucking Die Hard.
I could see
Bruce Willis
being able
like
to pull
a
girl before I could see Charles
Matt
Bronson.
Matt Damon is Jason Bourne.
Yeah, Matt Damon's a
He looks like
guy.
A badass to you? Matt Damon?
More so than Charles Bronson.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Matt Damon looks like more of a badass than Chuck Bronson.
Than Chuck Bronson.
How so?
Wow.
Please
How?
Explain this to
I
me.
I want to know. I.
The guy's what, 5'6"?
He's not 5'6".
I'm just, maybe I'm exaggerating. I don't know. He's a fucking short-looking guy.
He's standing
he's got
next
a
to,
voice.
Dude, he was like
a fucking
he was
cartoon
like,
character.
He was like nose level to Jim Brown in fucking the Dirty Dozen.
Oh, yeah. Was he?
Yeah.
So you don't really get the whole thing about Hollywood magic? Maybe they put some shoes on him. You know,
he was standing
tall,
next
you know,
to him
Tom
in
Cruise
a wide
and they
shot.
Put him next to Cameron Diaz. As
they do
the
put
same
him on
height.
An apple box.
Put,
Thank you.
No, I'm sorry, but when he's standing in what? Line in a fucking in military formation, you see the full body and he's standing right next to Jim Brown, fucking NFL player Jim Brown. The guy was fucking tall.
Was he on top of an apple box?
Anybody that can go to somebody else's husband and just look him in the eye like, I'm gonna marry your wife. And like, what? What are you talking about? I'm married to her. And then all of a sudden, fucking 6 months later,
accent, by the way.
Not anymore. 6 months later, married. And the guy had nothing to say about it.
Did you actually watch the Death Wish movies?
If I was a star of fucking 9 movies of the same title and I was a big fucking Hollywood star, I could go up to a lot of women.
You know, Zach,
and be like, hey, you know what?
Sorry,
I'm going to marry
you. I must be wrong because obviously nobody believed him as a badass because he made 9 fucking Death Wish movies. Obviously somebody believed that he could beat fucking hoodlums in New York. As a fucking vigilante,
well,
because he's a badass.
You're getting into a completely different topic. If I rap fucking Britney, if I came across Britney Spears and I decided, you know what, I'm gonna auto-tune the fuck out of this chick. I'm gonna put her on lunchboxes. And I'm gonna make you a star. This has been happening since Hollywood was fucking incepted.
But this guy already had a serious career.
He had a career going on.
Okay, I'm sorry. So
and in every movie, he was a fucking badass.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. Please list for me the accolades of Charles Bronson's fighting career.
He would walk. He didn't have any special moves.
Oh no, he didn't.
No,
he didn't. Thank you.
He would just walk in and he would just like, "Hey, punk, what the fuck?" And
what
then
are you
he'd
doing?
Like knock the knife out and fucking punch him in the face. He was just a bad dude.
He was right to the point. He was old school. He was direct. I like that about him.
He didn't need any
stuff. I obviously bought Clint Eastwood as a tough guy before I bought Charles Bronson.
Clint Eastwood was a singing fucking cowboy on TV before he was a fucking badass.
And
what did he
him.
Have? What did Clint Eastwood have that Chuck Bronson didn't have?
An ability to act.
Chuck Bronson can act!
Nah, I can't act.
Chuck can
name
act.
Name an instance.
How about I name a Death Wish movie?
Okay, what was the bad acting that he did?
Death Wish 3.
What did he do that was bad in that movie? Did you not believe that he wished death on people?
I wouldn't say...
Did you not believe that he hated punks? Like, I believe that he hated punks in that movie.
I actually can't even drop a single Charles Bronson line because I've erased every fucking movie that I have seen of his from my memory.
You obviously haven't seen movie one because you can't even tell me what bad acting he did.
I actually can't.
Okay.
And can you also say Clint Eastwood did not get any of his shit from Dirty Harry from Charles Bronson? All
yeah,
his acting,
so. I
think it came
so.
A lot from Charles Bronson.
He was hanging out with Chuck Bronson.
His whole look, Clint Eastwood, come here, punk. Charles Bronson!
Charles Bronson.
Yeah, I don't get it.
And you know why? He's still a badass? Because he died of cancer, didn't take chemo one. He's like, fuck it, I'm Chuck Bronson. I'll see you later, devil.
Yeah, I'm sure he started believing his own hype. Where did Charles Bronson come from before he was doing acting? Like, who saw him in a bar and said, that guy, I want him to be in the next, in this script that I'm writing about the toughest guy in fucking America.
Which, from that statement, okay, you think somebody was watching Good Will Hunting and was like, that guy can be a super spy who can kick anybody's ass.
Possibly.
No!
If an actor is approached with a script and they like
Pierce
what they
Brosnan,
see...
Pierce Brosnan, super spy.
Yes. Pierce Brosnan, fucking Remington Steele?
Do you know, yeah, that was a comedy.
Remington, yeah, but dude, that fucking paved the way for his entire role
as
Bond.
You know how skinny that fuck was?
I'd buy Charles Bronson.
I could
Pierce
tip
Bronson.
Him over.
Charles Bronson could snap him like a twig.
Like a twig.
Bullshit.
Come here, you limey fuck.
I
wouldn't believe it. I hate the Brits.
All I'm saying is I don't get it, and I remain unconvinced.
You 007, you better be 00 negative, because you're going to need a blood transfer. Like, that's what he would say, and he would break fucking skinny Pierce
that's
Brosnan.
That's what someone would write for him to
I
say.
Would blow fucking Pierce Brosnan over with a stiff fart, okay?
Bullshit.
Truck Bronson would smell my fart. He's like, what, you been eating pussy, you faggot? And then he would fucking punch me in the face. It wouldn't make sense, but it was fine because he had the mustache and the glare to make me think, oh wow, Chuck Bronson's gonna kick my ass. I am kind of biased because my uncle, who you know, from the Philippines, he was a rabid Chuck Bronson fan. I watched like all the Death Wish movies, all that kind of shit, and this guy was a strong, manly man. Like my uncle, he could beat people up, and he's like, I would never mess with Chuck Bronson. If he
really?
Saw Matt Damon, he would not only could say he would kick his ass, he would probably kick his ass.
Yeah, Chuck Bronson was playing himself.
Chuck Bronson
on camera.
Chuck Bronson.
They yell cut, he's like, I'm still Chuck Bronson, I still
exactly.
Rip vaginas.
Chuck Bronson
up.
Was still playing himself. Like, what the fuck about Chuck Bronson?
But that's
Bronson?
Awesome. That means he's tough.
Tough guy. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, fucking, Sylvester Stallone is a fucking writer-director who fucking was a dancer and in fucking, like, softcore porn movies before he ever did Rocky.
Yeah.
And
actually, there's a very interesting story behind
and
Sylvester
fucking
Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone is, like, 5'2".
Yeah, but you know how hard he had to work to get Rocky off the ground? Like, he fucking had
to
sell his
dog. Yeah,
no,
that's the thing. Like, you only believed him as that because he fucking went to the gym and fucking pumped himself up.
Oh, yeah, Charles Bronson can't be bothered to go to the gym
He was just naturally,
just
like,
chain-smoked
like
the fuck
out
of shit.
Like,
it never worked out.
I don't give a fuck about you, buddy. I got up this morning, had a T-bone steak and fucking 2 cartons of Pall Malls. Like, that's what he does.
He puts cigarettes out in his fucking hands.
There's such a thing in this world, Zach, as a natural badass. And that's
speaking
what
to your
Bronson
logic,
is.
By exactly, like, actor like Paul Bettany, for example.
Paul Bettany.
How does that even compare?
No, but
Paul
let me just
Bettany?
Say. Paul Bettany, for example. The guy that was in Wimbledon, fucking...
Right.
playing tennis with chicks in skirts and stuff, and somehow and he was also a doctor in Master and Commander. A
he was
fucking,
he was also fucking in A Knight's Tale as the jester.
As the jester guy, but somehow now Hollywood chooses to put him in all these action movies.
Yeah,
and who
Horror
buys
choice.
Paul Bettany
Horror
as a fucking as a badass
nobody.
At all?
Nobody.
Like,
I don't.
But it's all in the packaging. Really, you could package.
But you didn't need to package.
You could package Paul Bettany in a fucking action movie, and all of a sudden, hey, you're an action star.
You didn't need to package Chuck Bronson, man. He was just fucking badass.
Yeah, Chuck Bronson's believable.
No,
he's not believable.
Chuck Bronson was fucking.
He ate and slept. I think Death Wish. All the Death Wishes were actually documentaries. I think they just followed around Chuck Bronson.
That is his life.
In New York in the 70s, they're like, all right, dude, do what you got to do. And he's like, all right, I'm going to
show me a documentary that shows Charles Bronson doing anything badass in normal life.
Well, have you ever seen the movie Conan the Barbarian?
Yes, I have.
That was about him time
traveling. Have you really seen that movie?
That was about him time traveling back to, you know, the age of barbarism.
Yeah, no, and, that line...
And he's like, I don't really want to do this one. I'm kind of dying of cancer. Like, oh, we're going to get this faggot Sylvester or fucking Arnold's... I don't know his fucking name. He's like, all right, just make sure he's not a pussy.
Yeah.
And then they made the fucking movie.
This is some freaky shit back here.
Freaky shit. He actually used to say crumb a lot.
No, I'm sure. And actually that line, what was it? Destroy your enemies, see them fleeing before you, and hear the lamentation of their women.
Yeah, no, that was Chuck Bronson.
That was a Chuck Bronson quote.
He said that at a friend's wedding.
Right.
He stood up.
That was a speech.
Yeah, he stood up as the best man. He's like, all I gotta say to you, Bob, is all you gotta do is see your enemies lay down before you, crush them, and hear the lamentations of the women.
That's great, Charles. Really, really nice. Really pleasant.
They took creative license.
But, I mean, like, if you're gonna say that Chuck Bronson is not an intimidating guy, and you're gonna say that Matt Damon is...
I would say I bought Matt Damon as Jason Bourne more so than I bought Chuck Bronson as whatever.
My God, really?
Matt Damon looks like he should be selling fucking real estate in Wisconsin.
Eh, I don't know. Maybe it's just a personal taste thing, but I just don't get it.
So your personal taste is Matt Damon as for action stars?
I bought him in the Bourne role more so than I bought Chuck Bronson in anything that he ever played.
But why?
The things that I listed before, the guy is not intimidating
looking
at all.
Intimidating.
The guy is not very attractive at all.
The guy shaves with a fucking blade. The guy has a knife and he shaves with no soap, nothing.
In movies that people wrote for him to do
As I've stated before, those were documentaries.
Yeah.
No, they were
Yes,
not.
They were. Burton Proof Files on you, sir.
No.
He had control of every movie. He had control of everything on set.
And he was a very symmetrical guy. He was a good-looking guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now I know you're just bullshitting.
He's not a bad-looking
dude. Is he Polish? What is he? Polish?
Yeah, I think he's part Polish, part badass.
Yeah.
And then he's on his mother's side. So that's like the Jews. Like, you're only actually a Jew if your mom was a Jew. His mom was badass.
No, he must have been a Fuglian, because that guy's fucking Fuglian.
So you only base your badass people on how good they look?
On how well they can act, on how well they can deliver the lines.
Every heavy in a movie is a fucking bad-looking dude, because that's how you know they've been through some shit.
Because that's how they've been packaged.
No,
and I'm just saying,
in
I never
life.
Bought the package of Charles
when
Bronson.
When was the last fucking GQ model bouncer you ever saw?
Me?
Bar Lubitsch? Dylan, yes, he
was.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, they always have, like, a fucking something in their nose. They got a fucking glare on them. They look like they've been through some shit. Bolo Young, for instance.
Ooh, nice.
Bolo Young.
Yeah.
He looks like he might be the sweetest guy in the fucking world. You
now,
never know.
Now, that was a guy from the Bloodsport movie, right?
He was in Bloodsport. He was in Enter the Dragon.
Yep.
He was in Double Impact.
Toughest looking Asian I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, he's Korean.
Biggest
pecs
I've ever seen in my entire life.
And he's like,
oh my God.
He looks just mean. Amazing. He doesn't look pretty, because that's what badasses look like.
Yeah, but Charles Bronson never really looked mean. I kind of wanted to fucking...
He never Do you ever see Charles Bronson smile?
He looked fucking...
He couldn't smile.
He looked lamented at best. Like, I don't know. Like, he's like, okay, what's on your mind, buddy? You want a beer or something? You want to talk about it? Like, that's kind of how I would approach
Charles Bronson. An ironic band name would be Chuck Bronson Smile. Because he never fucking did it.
Pretty sure that exists.
I'm pretty sure. I think that was actually my third.
Let's write that down.
But seriously, Chuck Bronson, there's a reason why he was
the
best.
He was the... yeah, of course there's a reason. He was packaged and put in all these action movies. My only thing is why?
Because he's a badass.
He's not.
He already had a great following.
You haven't had reason one, really, why he's a badass. You don't even know who Chuck Bronson is. You haven't really seen a Chuck Bronson movie. What was the plot of a Death Wish movie?
Well, Chuck Bronson, someone killed his partner, right? And then he was put into being a cop on the edge, right? We've all seen it before. Then he decides to take his revenge. And you know what? He doesn't give a fuck who he's going to piss off. He doesn't give a fuck, because he is a man on a mission. He is a one-man army, right?
Right.
Fill in the blank Charles Bronson movie. There you go. Every fucking plot.
And why was it believable to millions of people over, like, 3 decades?
I don't know. Because Hollywood's good at packaging things?
No.
Like, I'm explaining this to you for the first time?
He's a badass. And I didn't even know how you can compare it to Britney Spears. That's like
you can package anyone to be anything. You were an editor. For how long? You could make Barack Obama look like a simpleton by simple editing.
Believe me, I tried.
That's all I'm saying. Simpleton. Editing. You can make him look like a fucking idiot by just
no, but
editing.
His presence. He had a presence. And that's what you need as a star, is a presence. And his presence said, don't fuck with Chuck Bronson.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, Zach, anything more attacking, or is that about wrap it up?
I remain unconvinced.
And the punk remains unconvinced. Well, that's all the time we have for Zach Attacks, and that's all the time we have for this episode of BODS. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go ahead and give us a like on the Facebook, facebook.com/BODS Entertainment, spelled out. You can also find the other links on that page to Twitter, iTunes, the whole nine. Thanks again for tuning in. We will see you guys next time. We're out.